It's time for Speak Out 2.0, a locally produced community affairs program for tri-state residents. From Kingman to Bullhead City, Laughlin to Needles and Lake Havasu City, to all the towns in between. Speak Out 2.0 features guests and topics covering politics, nonprofits, entertainment, and information on local events. Speak Out 2.0 is all about you, the KNTR Talk listener. Call in during the show, 702-298-1063. That's 702-298-1063. So turn up the radio. It's time for your host, Larry Toonforce.
Welcome to Speak Out 2.0. I'm Paul Lavoie, in for Larry Toonforce. The B team is here, along with... that was pretty good. I didn't even think of that until just now, because Leo Biasucci.
Another B.
Biasucci. You got to love that name.
Hey, you know, it was difficult running with it, but once people heard it,
right. Well, you're doing a great job. I have no qualms saying that. And
thanks,
welcome to the world of conservatism, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And you're on a great team.
Phenomenal team.
It's all about team.
Gina Cobb and Sonny Borelli are both phenomenal mentors, and I wouldn't be here without both of their help, so couldn't be more grateful for what they
do. So speaking of team, I'm going to get off track a little bit before we get back in. Everybody knows me for my little side notes and that, but my high school soccer coach, his name is Randy Minigill. Mm-hmm. He coached at Rancho. He coached me for 2 years out of four. We had four straight state championships.
Wow.
He went to Chaparral, got two or three more. Then he went into the world of golf and got six more state championships, right? So my brother and James Tate, our leading scorers, the two captains on our team, welcomed him into the Southern Nevada Sports High School Sports Hall of Fame.
Really?
Last night.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And one of our golfers, Kerry Clark, who won a state championship, was also inducted into that Sports Hall of Fame.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So congratulations to Randy Minigill. I know he's in Las Vegas and all that, but... for those of you who know him, had the honor of being chosen to play for him. Not just play for him, but being chosen to play for him, right?
And win. Right.
Oh, yeah. Two losses in 3 years? Three losses in 4 years. Yeah, we had an undefeated season my freshman year, which I was not on varsity. I was on JV. My sophomore, junior year, I played varsity. My senior year, I graduated with honors. So I chose Honor Society.
There you go.
I already had two state patches. What do you need, right?
What do you need another one for?
Another noteworthy item, this side of Havasu, anyway, is the Laughlin River Run.
Yeah.
I'm surprised on my way to work, both on Highway 95 and on the Parkway, there was a lot of bikes out.
A lot of bikes.
I'm not overwhelmed like in the back in the day, 50, 60,000. I remember those days really well. But looks to be well attended anyway.
Yeah, I mean the whole river. I mean, I'm in Havasu, so I came up from the Desert Storm, which there's just million-dollar boats.
Yeah, how's that going?
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, those boats are just incredible. So coming from that to this, I mean, what a great weekend to be in this area along the river.
Well, a lot of I don't want to say old timers like myself, but I guess I am going back 30 years. I can remember when there were. I can remember the year they closed down Casino Drive. It was so busy.
Yeah.
But definitely a presence out there with Metro and other law enforcement agencies. Just remember, folks, they can't stop like you can in a car. Give them a little extra space when you're following or when you're in a blind spot. Get out of their blind spot and look both ways before you go on that red to green light when you enter that intersection. Because there may be a bike that can't stop in time for that yellow light on the other side. So just, watch for bikers. And the curfew, I believe, is 10 p.m. tonight until 6 a.m. tomorrow, both Friday and Saturday. So we'll talk a little bit about the entertainment in the area, too, on Casino Drive, because there's a lot of really good entertainment that is tonight and tomorrow night. So, Leo, what a first session.
Right.
Man, first freshman to have a bill passed?
Yeah, that was pretty incredible. And it was so I was fortunate enough to be the first freshman to get a bill through and signed by the governor. But it was a special bill because What happened was in Baus, which is La Paz County, which is also part of my district, they had an issue with their funding. You know, the superintendent put $30,000 instead of $300,000 for their budget, and so they were short that money. So I had to throw a bill down, get it through extremely quickly to the governor to get them that money. The money was there, but because of legal reasons, they couldn't actually tap into it. So they would have had to shut their doors if they didn't get that money. So we were able to push that through with the help of Gina and Sonny and get that signed by the governor, and the Bell School District is open, and the kids are okay. So it was cool to have my first one be something that touched close to home. So.
Yeah, and one of those that's not necessarily policy,
right,
but it's more government. What do you call that? Not policy, but like what local governments do.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean,
and you know, we don't want to do that a lot.
Uh-huh.
We try to stick to policy, but this is an emergency situation.
Sure.
We need to come in and help, and I was happy to do it.
Right.
And it went through quickly, so it was great.
So our listeners out there, if you want to talk to your state representative, Leo Biasucci, Legislative District 5, 702-298-1063, 702-298-1063, the Speak Out 2.0 talk line, always open for our elected officials.
Absolutely.
And always open on this show, as far as I know. So good to fill in for Larry Toonforce, and thanks to the mothership for allowing it to happen.
Absolutely.
Well, you're wearing your Star Wars shirt.
Yes,
so
there's the reference.
That's cool.
The people on the radio.
Right. So tell me about this. I got this second note here. Threatened by a Democratic lobbyist?
Yeah, you know, before I got down to the Capitol, I was warned by Senator Borelli. He goes, you know, when you get down there, there's a lot of there's a viper pit you gotta watch out for, and the swamp you gotta watch out for. And you know, you hear those things going down there, but you don't really understand it until it happens. And my first taste was there was a Democratic lobbyist came in, and he wanted me to push a union bill for the state of Arizona. I am adamantly against unions. I just don't believe that they're doing what they used to do. Back in the day, I think a long time ago, they did some good things.
Before certain labor laws were passed.
Exactly correct.
Yes,
now
I agree with you.
It's just, it's out of control. And
yes.
So I said, no, I'm not going to vote for it. I'm not going to support it. And, you know, he made the comment of, you know, we'll make sure you get primaried and you won't get reelected.
No.
And I said, no, get out of my office. And that was it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and he was angry. But, you know, that's the kind of stuff they try to do to freshmen especially. They try to get down there. They try to intimidate. They try to put their, you know, foot down. And I'm somebody who's just, I'm not bought by lobbyists. Doesn't matter if they give me money or take me. It doesn't matter to me. I'm going to go with my conscience. I'm going to go with my values and my conservative values. And nothing else is going to push me. So it was a good test, though. It was fun, fun
right,
experience.
Right.
And he's never been back in my office since, so I did something right.
Is it everything you thought it would be? Where are the surprises here? I know you're still part of the learning curve,
right,
but it seems like you've come a long way since the first time we spoke over the phone, where you and Regina were on
right,
a phone interview together. What have you learned?
You know, I think the one thing I've learned is, you know, a lot of times the Republicans in the Capitol legislature, they want to get a lot done, right? They want to get down there, they want to get the work done, they want to be efficient. And I've learned that there's a lot of holdup on the floor. I mean, you know, we might have two or three bills one day and we go for 5 hours because a lot of times the Democrats just stall. They know they're in the minority. And so what they do is they talk as long as they can and they talk about as many things as they can and they bring up things that have zero relations with bills that are being
mm-hmm.
talked about, but they just do it for stall tactics. That's the most frustrating part. I knew that would probably happen. I didn't realize it was going to be this bad. And I've experienced that, you know, this whole session. I mean, we've probably been there longer than we need to be because of that exact situation. And when they see that we have a member that's missing or sick, they will throw everything at us in the book. I mean, they will throw,
really?
They'll call division on every bill, knowing they don't have the numbers, but they just do it just to do it. That's the part that I just, you know, it's tough. It's tough to hold back and not
yeah.
stand up. And
so they, not to use the word swamp too much, but they swamp the calendar.
They swamp the calendar. And, you know, and I'm going to give a perfect example. And, you know, the other day we had the ERA discussion come up. So they want to pass the ERA.
Uh-huh.
You know,
we're not talking about real estate here.
No, yeah. We're talking about the Equal Rights Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
So they have this belief that women are not treated the same as men in this country, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. And you know, women, you have a Senate president in the Senate right now. You have women that are in very high positions and business owners and CEOs. And so to say that they're not equal, I don't understand that. But we were on the floor. We were talking about the ERA debate. Good debate on both sides. We had Representative Cobb, who's my seatmate, Regina. Mm-hmm. She got up and said, look, I'm a successful dentist. I had a successful practice. I didn't get any help. I did this on my own. I worked hard. This is why I'm here. It has nothing to do with me not having equal rights. Another Representative Townsend got up, said the same thing. Well, while this is happening behind me, Democratic legislators are talking to each other and saying, well, the reason they're successful is because of white privilege. It has nothing to do with them working hard.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there thinking, you've got to be kidding me. So I got up because I was sick of it at this point. I mean, I've been hearing this kind of just lies and stories being told amongst these Democrats. And I got up and said, look, this has nothing to do with white privilege. This is the United States. In this country, you create your reality, right? You know, you want to talk about, you know, countries like Iran or Yemen or the Middle East, some of these countries that really do have issues with equality. That's one thing. But in the U.S., I am sorry, these women all in the legislature that are there, they work their butt off to get where they're at, and that's what it's about. It's not about white privilege. But that's the kind of frustration that they just completely try to stir up. And until you stand up and say something, they'll continue to do it.
The one that gets me is that the pay gap.
Right.
When they talk about the pay, and Dennis Prager had a great line on this. If women really did make less than men, then men wouldn't be employed because everyone would hire women because they work cheaper.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
And you know, so it's unfortunate that they feel like they need to do that, and it's just like I said, that's the part that's frustrating, is having to hear that every day. But you know what, I signed up for it. I know that's what it's about sometimes, and so we got to just deal with it. You know.
So how much swamp is there in the legislature? I'd use the word swamp again.
Swamp, yeah. There's plenty. You know, there's you know, a lot of people that try to control you. And what they do is they, you know, people that are, you have the legislators, you have the lobbyists, but you have a lot of people down there. I mean, that are even, you know, not lobbyists, but they just try to dictate and influence things. And so and what they do is they try to test the waters. They try to check the freshmen, who's gonna fall to our
where's the weak link? Yeah.
Absolutely right. And for me, I'm fortunate because, you know, Senator Borelli warned me about it, Representative Cobb warned me about it, and so me getting in there, I knew what to expect. And so but they threaten you. I have another one of my fellow Republicans, a couple of them, Shauna Bullock and Representative Blackman, and they both already been threatened that they're going to be primaried because they won't vote a certain way. So it's everywhere. The key is, though, is and this is the argument I hear. We heard this in one of the debates during the election cycle, was somebody asked Senator Borelli, you know, I heard you take money from lobbyists, and aren't you influenced by that? And he made a great point. He goes, it's funny you say that, because I just voted for a bill that went against that exact lobbyist that gave me the $500.
Right.
And that's the key right there, is you got to make sure, if you're a legislator, doesn't matter who gives you money, you stick to your beliefs, you stick to your core values. But the swamp, they try to find the ones that won't. They try to fund the ones that will be bought and intimidated.
Right.
So it's a constant battle every day.
Wow. That's the constant dog and pony show that you talk about from the Dems.
Oh, all the time. All the time. It's
crazy.
It's like I said, it's frustrating, but you know what? This is why we got to reelect those Republicans that we lost in the House for 31-29. Very small margin. And we can go into that next, about what bills that the Dems have tried to push through that are just some unbelievable bills. And if anything, I want to tell people, look, these bills I'm going to talk to you about that they've been trying to push, if the House was turned by those two seats, these bills would go through. And that's scary to think about, that we're gonna lose our republic because of these crazy bills and the option that we might lose these seats.
Right. That's great. I'm going to let you host. That was a great tease.
No worries.
But, yeah, we'll talk about those crazy. I want to know about some other bills, too, possible legislation. For, you know, election day tactics of the Democrats, I think, is what has won them the seat, the original seat against Martha McSally.
Right.
I truly believe that was a setup, a rigged election, if you will, how Kyrsten Sinema got in there. But that's how they're going to take over.
Yeah.
Is tactics like that.
Absolutely.
They know they don't have the votes in the red states. So when we come back, we'll talk about interesting Democrat bills, and we'll talk about some other legislation that is in the works in the final days of the 2019 legislative session.
I hope so.
Right? You hope it's the final day. Well, I heard somewhere there's only a few days left.
Well, technically it should be done this Saturday. Is actually
calling an emergency session?
Without going forward, but we have way too much going on still.
Okay.
So we'll extend it well into May.
All right. If you want to talk to our guest, Arizona District 5 State Representative Leo Biasucci, give us a call on Speak Out 2.0. I'm Paul Lavoie. We're going to go to break with some Joe Bonamassa. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If your business possesses sensitive documents, your compliance partner, Mojave Shred, is here to help. Sensitive information is as seemingly insignificant as a document with a person's name and address. Numerous laws put many businesses at risk of enormous fines and penalties. Mojave Shred provides compliance training and administrative assistance in maintaining high data security standards at no cost to your business. Serving the entire tri-state, Mojave Shred is flexible, affordable, and local. Nationally recognized certified secure destruction specialist. MojaveShred.com.
Man, I could go for that.
Yeah.
I could go for the Mott's Tequila part, too. But, yeah, I'm kind of excited. Just found out Sammy Hagar and his super group with Michael Anthony and Jason Bonham are playing at Harrah's at the Rio Vista Amphitheater.
Yeah.
Crazy.
How fun would
that be? A venue I helped build.
Did you really?
Yeah. Back,
very cool.
Way back in the day after we built the Rio Vista Amphitheater after the Fiesta showroom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was one of the original six crew members over there. So, yeah, I had a great time. That was way back in the day when I was younger and my knees could take pushing gear up ramps and that sort of thing. But I definitely need to mention that Speak Out 2.0 is brought to you in part by Mojave Shred, Secure Document Destruction, also Mojave Electric Cooperative, home of the Co-op Connections Card, and some great people over there as well. Martin Swanee, Hyundai of Kingman, test drive any vehicle on the lot, and by Eugene Williams Consulting, helping businesses grow. So we're back with Arizona District 5 State Representative Leo Biasucci, kind enough to come into the studio, not by phone this time.
So much better.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, I mean, I love the one-on-one in-person interview better.
From a host standpoint, it's much easier because I can see all the visual cues
when
to come in. You know,
right.
It's so easy to interrupt over the phone.
I agree.
So
it's
definitely tougher.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thanks to Larry for booking you
and
giving me the opportunity to finally get to interview you. You can finally get to sit on the opposite side of the Lavoie chair in the hot seat. So anyway, tell me about this HB 2664. This is just ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, before I go into this bill, I'll talk a little bit about how, you know, with the House being 31-29, 31 Republicans to 29 Democrats, I mean, it is a razor-thin margin. You know, one person is sick on the Republican side, we really are in trouble because, you know, you don't have the majority. And so I try to tell people when I go to speak at, you know, Republican events, how important it is to make sure we get out and vote in 2020. Because if we don't and we lose the House, those two seats flip. These bills I'm going to talk to you about now could become law.
Right.
I mean, they could go through. And that's a really scary thought. So, and there's three or four I put down here. And I'll go into the first one, which is kind of a small one, but just shows you how ridiculous these bills are that are coming from the other side of the aisle. So 2664, a person may not release balloons into the atmosphere for any reason, including as part of an event, promotional activity, or product advertisement. So in other words, if you release a balloon, a person who violates this article is subject to a civil penalty of not more than $500 per violation. Think about that.
Now, this doesn't cover hot air balloons or balloons used on behalf of the government or a scientific project.
Sure, right. Yeah, you're talking about, you know, weather balloons and whatnot.
Those are retrievable. Yeah.
But to think that we are about to arrest our children for releasing a balloon into the atmosphere.
Right.
Crazy.
What about the car dealer that has the balloons on the lot that one gets away?
One gets away, $500 fine.
If wow. You get turned
in. I mean, the idea behind it, I mean, just blows my mind.
That's just Big Brother too much.
Way too, right? You're talking about balloons.
Just over the top.
Exactly right. And so when this bill came across my desk, That was my exact reaction. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This is our time being wasted on bills like this.
Do you think this originated in Arizona, or was it an outside influence from another state?
Yeah, I'm sure it came from California, right? I mean, all the wild things, plastic straws and whatnot, they always come from California.
A lot of the fireworks bills,
firework,
too,
right.
You know, that went on to be ballot questions.
Yeah, absolutely correct. And so this is just something, right when I look at this bill, I think, number one, California. Number two, only, a liberal would push this kind of bill, because to me it just doesn't make any kind of sense at all. So that one was quickly, killed. I don't even think it made it through committee. It was just, nobody even wanted to hear this thing. I mean, it's nuts. So that one's kind of a small one, but then, another one that was really, really serious, and it got a lot of attention, and it actually got heard in committee. And this is the HB 2696.
Yeah.
This was brought up by the Democrats, Representative Tehran, and 17 Dems signed on to this bill as co-sponsors.
Yeah.
So this wasn't like a mistake or wasn't, we didn't understand what was in the bill. 17 Dems, including leadership, signed up. And this is the bill that said it would have repealed a law that requires doctors to attempt to save a life of a fetus born alive during an abortion. So this has been on the books for a while, that if a child, during the abortion process comes out alive, you have to save the life. You have to attempt to save that life, mm-hmm. right? You're saving that baby's life. They were trying to repeal that to say, even if the baby comes out alive, kill the baby.
Wow.
Isn't that in the state of Arizona, this bill comes across my desk? Unbelievable. I mean, this is not Virginia or New York where they try to pass. This is Arizona.
It's unbelievable how the media squelched it.
Oh, nobody talked about it.
I watch the news.
Right.
Unlike most people, I watch a lot of news.
Sure.
From a lot of different sources. This didn't come up on my radar at all.
At all. I mean, I will give credit to Havasu News Herald. They reached out to me, and I said, look, this bill, and I talked to them about the bill, and they did an article on it, which I appreciate that they did that. But you're right. It didn't, and this should be headline news.
Yes.
Right? You're about to legalize killing a child, a baby.
Genocide.
In fact, at birth.
Yeah.
That's murder. Right? I don't care how you look at it. It's murder. And the fact that this was 17 Dems got behind this bill absolutely just – I can't even explain the emotions that went through me when I saw this bill show up on our calendar. And to think, like I tell people all the time, to think that two seats in the House, this would pass. Because you had huge support by the Democrats behind this bill. And it was truly, truly scary to think that this could happen.
So normally I take a break about right now, but we talk about that razor-thin majority that the GOP has. How safe is that majority? When you look ahead to the next election.
Not safe at all. So what they're doing is they are raising more money than we are right now, the Dems are. And they are already targeting districts. I don't know if you ever look at the news, and if you ever see an attack on a Republican in the House, in the Arizona House, they've did it against Representative Kern. They're trying now to do it against Representative Bullock. They're going to do it against Representative Blackmun. They look at areas that are vulnerable. They look at areas that the demographics have shifted. So when they did the redistricting, a lot of times that we didn't really have a big say in that as Republicans, so they redistrict to where they gave themselves an advantage. And this is why you saw the big push this last election to where now we're only 31-29.
Sure.
Because they got the votes. They needed the lines to be drawn a certain way. So they are now targeting those areas because they want to turn those seats. So very, very, very big possibility if we don't step up. And, the one thing that I noticed is the Democrats – and I'll say this. When I ran, I sounded the alarms. I said, look, as Republicans, we need to take this seriously. We can't just say, well, Trump won. We're going to sit back.
Right.
We're good to go.
Right.
Complete opposite, because they are now getting together and organizing, and they're going at it full steam.
So we have a new state Republican Party chairman, Kelly Ward.
Yes.
Dr. Kelly Ward of Lake Havasu City.
Yep.
How much of a factor does she play in that fundraising?
Huge. She's the number one. That's her duty. Right? Her job as a GOP chair is her jobs are to raise money, to find PCs, to find viable candidates. 1, 2, 3. That is it. That is her main purpose. So I think she'll do a great job. I like Kelly.
It's getting up to speed. That's the deal.
Right. Yeah. I mean, she just took over. So, you got to learn the ropes. But she's a fire starter. I mean, she's somebody that can rile up the base. And that's what we need. We needed somebody to, get in there and say, look, we need to wake up. We need to stop just being complacent and sitting back. We need to get on boat. We need to make sure people are not sitting at home. Because if we do this, the state's gone. I'm telling you right now.
But then again, Leo, she's out there touting the fact that we need a four-tenths of a percent increase for an education tax.
Yeah, like I said before, her job is to
raise money
and rile up the group.
So stay out of policy?
Well, I mean, the policy part is with that tax increase, it's a tax increase.
Yeah.
I'm not supportive of it.
Okay.
The majority of the Republicans in the House are not. I mean, I think an overwhelming majority. I don't think anybody wants that tax increase. Now, I understand the
I'm just bringing it up to you because it was in the Herald.
It's all over the news. It was all over the place. And, the idea behind it, there is strategy behind doing this. So the strategy is, and I want people to understand this because it's complicated and there's a lot of strategy that happens behind the scenes. So Red for Ed, Invest in Ed, they're going to come out with a voter initiative to raise it to, I think, a penny and a half or 2 cents sales tax increase. They want that to go on the ballot in 2020. So the idea was, well, let's put something on the ballot of our own that would counter that voter initiative. And hopefully both could die. My opinion, and this is just my opinion as a legislator, is I agree with that strategy, but I would have just brought up a bill without the tax increase, just change the buckets. You have like 15 or 10 buckets right now that 301 goes into. This is the education funding. I would have just put a bill up saying, okay, let's change this to 3 buckets. Don't even do the tax increase. It'll have the same effect because you're still going to have 2 bills on the ballot that are going to confuse people and they're going to vote both down.
Okay.
Now, because in my opinion, it's not. We keep throwing more money at education, which education is important. I am always somebody who's going to support education, but we need to fix the formula right now. We just gave a 20x20 raise. We're helping the teachers out. It was justly, that's something that we needed to do. We needed to make sure we take care of our teachers. But right now, we have other things to take care of. We have correction officers that are being underpaid. We have the sheriff's department that's being underfunded. We have all these areas we need to take care of.
Sure.
I think we're concentrating too much on this right now. We need to just let this go. And hopefully, like I said, we'll put something on the ballot that's not a tax increase. That's just a bucket change and have the same effect.
Right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the situation at U of A with the border control. I've got some video that's pretty disturbing.
Absolutely disturbing.
Queued up on YouTube that Leo turned me on to. And Leo Biasucci is our guest, Arizona District 5 State Representative. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out 2.0 will continue in just a moment. You can call in as well. 702-298-1063. Let's go out with some Old Dominion. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Shirt on and a half-drunk smile. She talked about Austin and how she'd get back there someday. Had the curtains wide open and a song on my phone. We danced by the TV we never turned on. And wondered would anyone miss us if we ran away.
The standard has been set. Now you can drive the 2019 Hyundai Ioniq Hybrid for less than $30,000. The Hyundai Ioniq Hatchback delivers 55 miles per gallon around town. Combine that with one of the world's best warranties and sought-after technology like Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, and a rear-view backup camera. Whether you're looking to save the planet or save money, Martin Swanee Hyundai in Kingman has just the car for you. Hyundai's Ioniq. Visit Martin Swanee Hyundai today. Stockton Hill Road in Kingman and martinswanneehyundai.net.
All right, we're back on Speak Out 2.0. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with the guy sitting next to me rocking out.
Good music.
Arizona Legislative District 5 State Representative Leo Biasucci.
You're a pro.
I don't mean to offend, but it's such a whiny language when you listen to like Italian movies, you know?
Although, that's my fiance. She said that's how I got her heart right there. Speaking the Italian.
Because you speak Italian, right?
I know. I do.
Wow. So yeah. If you were to say, I'm here on Speak Out 2.0 and really happy about it, how would you say that in Italian?
Yeah, io sto qua on Speak Out 2.0. Or due, I guess, to due is Italian.
I don't know how you're fighting them off, man.
She's happy. My fiance is happy.
Wow.
Finally put us.
Yeah. So kind of set up this video for me, even though we're on radio. People can't see the video.
Right.
Because they're only going to hear the dialogue from it. This is from the University of Arizona.
Yeah, and I'll give just a quick update before we start that. So what happened was the Border Patrol was at the University of Arizona, which is my I graduated from Eller, from U of A in 2005. So I'm an alumni.
You're alma mater.
Now I'm alma mater.
Yeah.
And so it was really disturbing to hear this. So Border Patrol was on campus for career day. So they were just there with a lot of different companies coming in. They're trying to recruit. We need more people on the border. We have a shortage of Border Patrol. And they were on campus, and they were in a classroom giving a presentation that they were invited to. And some students decided to disrupt the classroom. And here's the clip.
And they allow murderers
Here we go.
To be on campus, where I pay to be here. Murders on campus. Murders.
Now, when she does that, she's zooming in
on the Border Patrol agents.
Right.
This is supposed to be a safe space for students, but they allow an extension of the KKK into campus.
Unbelievable.
An extension of the KKK into campus.
It's just unbelievable.
You know,
just the language of the left just gets more and more, shocking, appalling. It's like a shock and awe tactic that they use now.
And to me, it comes from the top. I mean, look at their leaders. Look at Pelosi. Look at AOC. Look at these people who are just individual from
Minnesota.
I mean, so in this situation, you have Border Patrol agents on campus for career day. You have these individuals who are protesting and saying, out loud in this video, mm-hmm. Extension of the KKK and whatnot. And the most disturbing part about this is then the Arizona University Student Association sends out a press release to all U of A staff and everybody in the U of A community saying that the next time the Border Patrol comes on campus, we need a warning because the DACA students feel threatened when they see these agents on campus.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, actually I can.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so, this obviously made me extremely angry. It made a lot of people in the legislature angry. So we said on our own press release saying, you know what, this is insane. Because what happened was they actually charged these students with criminal charges for disrupting classroom and on campus. And then the Pinal County dropped all the charges.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just came out and said, look, the fact that these charges were dropped is just, it really shows you what we're dealing with here in a lot of these liberal universities. I think a lot of things have changed at U of A and ASU and a lot of other campuses. You see it all the time with, like when Ben Shapiro tries to go speak in California. I mean, they protest and they get their way. And this is something that needs to stop because I think that if we don't stand up as legislators, if us Republicans don't stand up against this kind of stuff, like it's going to continue and we're going to lose this country.
Well, we're losing the dialogue that founded this country.
That's
the
right.
Two-way conversation. It's not just a one-way conversation,
right.
Folks. There are valid points from the right. There are some maybe from the left that
sure.
I don't know about. You'd have to point them out to me.
Right.
But being a former Democrat myself well over 10 years ago. But I wanted to talk about this update. I wasn't aware of this, but the highway safety fee.
Yeah.
The one I paid back in February.
$32.
To re-register my personalized Cardinals plates.
Yeah.
Which, well, they go to the Arizona Cardinals Foundation. The money does.
Right.
So. But, fill me in on this update of the $32 car registration fee.
Yeah, so everybody knows now, this has been a big deal, is last year the legislature passed a fee. Actually, they gave the ADOT director the authority to dictate how much his fee wanted to be for the VLT.
And without any oversight.
Without any oversight, which is a bad idea in the first place. Now, I wasn't there last year. I couldn't vote on this bill. I know a lot of Republicans that did not vote on this bill. But we had the opportunity this year to fix that because it's not right. This is a tax. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care if you call this a fee or we're trying to help DPA. Whatever the case is, this is a tax on the people that should not have happened.
Right.
And so the Senate passed SB 1001 that repealed the $32 fee.
Mm-hmm.
The House passed it. It's now on the governor's desk. Now, whether he signs it or not, I don't know. He's already made a statement that he's going to veto anything, but he has not vetoed it, which is a good sign. So that's saying that I think he's heard from the people that, hey, you know what, this was not an okay thing to do. And so we're hoping he signs it. Whether he signs it or we figure it out in the budget to get your money back, we're going to do what we can to do that because it's just against everything we stand for.
That's interesting. Yeah, there have been many decisions by Governor Ducey that just really took me by surprise
right.
since he's been reelected. But go ahead.
For example, the tax conformity. Mm-hmm. Right. This is another big issue where we moved a bill early in the session.
Yeah.
Here's if people don't understand, when Trump put his tax cuts in, and he did conformity on the federal level, it allowed us to have a surplus of about $155 million in the state of Arizona. That's the people's money.
Mm-hmm.
That's not anybody else's money. It's not the state's money. That needs to go back to the people.
It's not the governor's money.
It's not the governor's money.
Right.
And so we put a bill saying, all right, we're going to conform to the tax the tax cuts. And then what we did is we lowered the overall by 0.11 percentage points. So we offset that by additional revenues by reducing tax rates across the board in Arizona by 0.11, which would have gave people their money back. He vetoed the bill. And so we're now working hard, and this is in the negotiations we're having with the governor now about the budget. This is our number one thing as a legislature. We want that money back to the people. That belongs to the people.
Right.
So we're trying to do that, and at the same time, we're trying to pay down our debt. He wants his billion. He wants his $1 billion for the rainy day fund. So how we all do that, it's going to be the biggest question now that we're working on at the moment. So.
Wow, interesting. So the texting and driving ban. That's the new one.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, Leo. You don't know this about me, but I have a niece that died in a rollover.
Okay.
She was a Millennium Scholarship student in Nevada.
Sorry about that.
Looking for housing. Thank you. In Reno, on the way back home to Vegas, the driver, good friend of hers, was posting on Facebook, doing 80 to 85 miles an hour.
Right.
And Hillary was in the back seat, sleeping, unbuckled. And, and she died as a result of the accident. 18 years old, her whole
wow.
life ahead of her. Yeah, so my brother took up the charge, and they tried to get the seatbelt law as a primary.
Instead of a secondary
sure. seatbelt law in Nevada. What resulted from it was the texting and driving ban.
Right.
Which is similar, but not even close to being the same. So my thing is, how is this enforceable? Especially when you let people text while they're at a stoplight.
Right.
That's the Arizona bill.
Correct.
Okay, not in Nevada.
Right.
My opinion is texting and driving bills would be much more effective if texting citations were sent to insurance companies.
That's a good point. I'm going to break this down because this bill, first of all, went straight to the floor,
mm-hmm.
which is a big issue in the first place, because when you have a bill going straight to the floor, it means it's bypassed all committees. It bypassed any kind of vetting at all,
which
you don't do that.
No.
Very rarely does that happen, and this bill did that.
Weren't there two pieces of legislation that addressed the same
three.
Issue?
We voted on three at the same exact time.
Oh, wow.
Because three were different aspects of the same bill. And so, first of all, and the other two were vetted. They went through committees. They made their way through. This one was not, which is a number one, a red flag right away. So right away, you start reading the bill. And the bill is absolutely – don't get me wrong. Do we need to do something? Sure, mm-hmm. right? There's an issue that we have.
Especially in the metropolitan area.
Sure, right. Yeah. But this is not the answer. This bill is not the answer. This bill is saying if the phone's in your pocket, you can get pulled over and cited.
Wow.
You can use it to start and end navigation. You can use it at red light. So you have all these exemptions. You're right. How do you enforce it? So the cop pulls you over and he says, hey, you were texting and driving. No, I wasn't. I was starting navigation. Prove it.
Right.
Right. How are you going to prove that? Now you're tying up our court systems. Now you're tying up tax dollars. So there's the issues alone. So now you're doing that. And then when you make it this, the offense of this is $75 to $150 for your first time.
You get speeding tickets or more than that.
Exactly. Second time is $250. So no points. Insurance company doesn't know about anything.
That's ridiculous.
So if the argument is, and this was the argument for this bill, is we need to do something. We need to do something serious. Well, if you're going to go that route, if something needs to be done, then do it right. You're gonna $75. What's that gonna do?
Yeah.
They don't have to go to traffic school. They don't have to right. learn about what they're doing wrong. This, in my opinion, was a feel good bill.
Yeah.
And I personally do not like feel good bills, because when you have a bill put into law, it needs to take the time. It needs to take the education. The stats need to be brought forward. You need to make sure it's vetted properly. This is a law that's gonna go into effect. That's gonna affect millions of people. And this is not the way to do it. 24 Republicans voted no. Senator Borelli voted no. Representative mm-hmm. Cobb voted no. I voted no, because we all believe this was not the right way to do it.
Is that something you think might come back to bite you in the next primary? Is somebody saying, "Well, he voted against that bill"?
Yeah, I mean they can come after me, but
because it's such a simple issue
sure.
to exploit,
right? But in
out of context, if you will,
and they can. But I voted yes on the other two bills, and which I agree with. The other one was saying because here's my deal with. Constitutional-wise, right, mm-hmm. when I look at this. You're going to, let's say you're driving, you have your phone in your hand,
mm-hmm.
you're driving the speed limit, you're not distracted, you're not swerving,
mm-hmm.
we're giving you a ticket because of what you might do.
Right.
Right? We're right. pulling you over because you might
right.
get it. That I don't like. So the other bill I signed was stating that you can have the phone in your hand, But if you're doing something illegal, speeding, they're going to cite you for both. They're going to get you for the distracted driving because you are distracted by your phone. You're not handling it properly. So in my mind, that is a better way to look at this because, for me, this is just digging into our rights, and I just don't like that idea. Something needs to be done? Yes. This bill that passed was not the right bill.
I just struck a parallel with Democrats in Congress talking about impeachment because he might have fired Sessions or he might have fired Mueller.
Right. You know, I mean, and that's the problem. Yeah. I mean, it's you know, this is the reason why I think, you know, and it's tough because we had people down at the Capitol. We had, you know, Officer Townsend, who was the officer that was killed by somebody who was texting and driving recently.
That was horrible.
But you have these emotions that are down there, right? The family comes with the photos, and I feel for them. I mean, it's something, I have no doubt that something needs to be done, but I just personally, and I told the governor, I wrote him an email and said, look, you know, I hope before you sign this bill, you look at all the facts with this bill.
Right.
And next year, when I'm gonna try to come back, it already got signed, so it's in law. I'm going to try to come back with some fixes on it to say, look, if you get pulled over one time, the first time, instead of paying the fee, you have an option to go to traffic school. You know, pay the $40. Learn about it. So at least it doesn't go in your, you know, doesn't affect you, you know, monetarily. And it's not just a, you know.
It should be mandatory to the insurance at some point, though, after the second or third citation, you know. We've got about 2-3 minutes.
Okay.
And you had 4 bills that were signed into law.
Yeah, how great is that?
I don't want to talk about each other.
No, you can.
No, go ahead. Talk about them all. Which one are you most proud of, besides the Bouse bill?
The Bouse bill is great. You know, I think the one that I really am happy about is the occupational licensing. We're the first state in Arizona. That was a co-sponsor on this bill. The first state in Arizona to allow people who have licenses in other states, that they'd be in good standing, they can't have any issues.
Licenses
there's multiple things. So
insurance?
It can be, insurance, or you could have contractors, builders,
okay.
You know, barbers, whatever.
Whatever requires a certification from another state.
They can come into Arizona now and work without having to go through the whole process again.
Right.
Which is great, because when you look at we have so many areas in Arizona where we're shorted. We have shortages of. And this just allows people to come over and work faster, because they already have the education behind it, they already have the licensing behind it. Why are we holding it up to where they can come here and work right away?
Right.
So I think this is a phenomenal bill. The one that I hope I can get passed next year that got tied up was a veteran property tax exemption. I pushed this bill really hard myself, and actually County Assessor Jeannie Kench.
Sure.
She and I worked hard on this. She brought it to me. And this is saying if you're a combat disabled veteran, you would get a tax break on your property taxes. To me, veterans, I mean, they gave
They're
the
invaluable.
Sacrifice, right?
They
the reason we have the freedoms we have today are because of our vets.
Absolutely.
To take care of them, and this small little thing, it's not a lot of money that will it'll cost us. Was a no-brainer to me. For some reason it didn't move.
Where did the pushback come on that one?
I don't know. I never got an answer. It never got heard in committee.
So it stalled.
And I don't know why. People have their reasons. But for me, we have over 25,000 vets in our district, in District 5 that I represent.
Right.
Huge part of our community. And I couldn't be more appreciative of what they've done and they've sacrificed. This is the least we could do is a small little tax break for them.
Well, you're fighting the good fight, and we appreciate you being on Speak Out 2.0. Leo Biasucci is our guest, Arizona Legislative District 5 State Representative. Freshman. Hopefully soon not to be. But you've got another session.
Yeah.
Before.
Yep, we're done. We'll hopefully be done at the end of May, and
before
then we start
the
again
election,
in January.
Though. Right, yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we do it all over again.
Right.
The fun re-election.
So you are going to run again.
Yeah.
Huh?
Absolutely. Right. I love being able to represent this district. You know, being born and raised here, this is my dream.
Congratulations on your engagement.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Paul.
Absolutely.
And thank you, everybody, for listening.
You hear some Stevie Ray Vaughan in the background. That's because Chris Hyatt is in town. That's right. He's at the Edgewater Bell, and that's one of the best Stevie Ray tributes that I've ever seen.
Really?
But there's a lot of good entertainment in town. I'm going to talk about that when I come back. We've got just a few minutes to talk about entertainment. So back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out 2.0 will continue. Thanks again to Leo Biasucci.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Paul.
Meet Jenny.
Honey, we saved over $80 this month on groceries alone.
Jenny saves money at the grocery store using printable coupons from the Co-op Connections program.
Wow, how'd you save all that money?
It's easy with Co-op Connections, the program that helps you save big on groceries and household items with coupons.com.
It's all thanks to Co-op Connections.
And best of all, it's free to Co-op members just like Jenny and you.
This message is brought to you by Mojave Electric Cooperative, an equal opportunity employer and provider.
Eugene Williams Consulting brought to compliance with the state of Nevada along the river properties, Desert Sun Plumbing, Allen Shore Painting, and U.S. Southwest LLC, just to name a few. Thanks to Eugene, you too can comply with the Clark County legal posting requirement for your business license. Don't have an office in Nevada but still do business here? Eugene has you covered. Eugene Williams Consulting provides you with a Nevada registered agent and the means to get licensed in Nevada. Don't risk doing business in Nevada without it. It's against the law. Call Eugene now, 702-299. 0511.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out 2.0. Leo wanted me to give out his phone number in case you have any questions or would like to talk to him one-on-one. 602-926-3018. That's at the legislative office in Phoenix. And also his email, the state email, L. Biasucci, that's B-I-A-S-I-U-C-C-I, B-I-A-S-I-U-C-C-I, at azleg.gov. Save those lives. All right, well, there's some pretty outstanding entertainment in town for the Laughlin River Run. You've got Sammy Hagar's Full Circle Jam Tour. Sammy's teamed up with Michael Anthony of Van Halen and also Jason Bonham from the band Bonham, and of course John Bonham's son. And they're at Harrah's Rio Vista Outdoor Amphitheater. That's tonight, 9 p.m. Not sure of the availability of tickets, but they're a little pricey too, starting at $82 for tickets to see Sammy Hagar's Full Circle Jam Tour. I can see hearts come. Also, the party zone in the front parking lot of the Edgewater. You got blues bands, Chris Hyatt, John Earl, and the Boogeyman Band. Mississippi Bill McGee, that is today and tomorrow from noon until 2 a.m. And I'll see everybody over at the Arrowwee Lounge at the AV. You've got HG and the boys, my boy Hollis, back in town. That's right, at the AV in the Arrowwee Lounge. HG and the boys, tonight and tomorrow, 9:15 to 1 a.m. All right, until the next time I see you, Paul Lavoie, living the dream. Hannity is next, preceded by Fox News. Thanks for joining us.
The voice of the free, KNTR Talk 106.3, KJJJ Laughlin, HD2.